97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Welcome in on their Tuesday morning, the 28th day of January. We are happy that you're spending the morning with us. Mark Cox in here alongside Scott J. Gow, who's in for Kim St. Ange. She will be back on Thursday, we understand. And, of course, Carl Middleman, Sue Thomas, getting you to work this morning. Any big problems out there? Maybe some sunshine slowdowns, which is nice because it's going to get in the 40s and 50s the next couple of days. We're happy to see that. I think by middle of the weekend, it's going to be 50 degrees. Maybe some of that difficult ice will disappear.
Actually, 54 today.
It's crusty.
Oh, the sidewalk around my apartment is absolutely a skating rink still.
How's your street, Carl? We haven't talked about that. I asked him that after he took a big bite of cookie.
So, thanks, Mark Reardon, for making cookies.
Yeah.
He and his daughter have been making cookies and then bringing them in for us to sample. So, thanks for that.
Yes.
I move my car to the north side of the street during the day when the sun is hitting it and getting rid of it. So there is a long patch of ice on the south side of the street where the cars are shading.
It's still that bad.
Yeah, it's about a foot thick. I mean, a foot wide, not thick.
Wow.
It's still about an inch thick.
That's amazing. Well,
it should be gone by today.
I would think.
I don't know.
The sun ought to do it, but it might not hurt to throw down a little bit of ice melt or salt just to help it out. I mean, now with temperatures that warm, it ought to get cleared out of here. Let's hope so. The mayor of St. Louis issued an apology yesterday during an outing. An appearance. She apologized for the snow response at some forum she attended yesterday. I'm going to have to look for that sound.
Did you say the slow response or the snow response?
Slow snow response. It was a hot topic. A lot of people were there. People were trapped in their house for 6 days. They were concerned, and she addressed the issue and said, "I'm sorry that our city services didn't meet the bar during our winter storm. I'm sorry it took too long to pivot." Her challenger was very critical of how they handled it. Kara Spencer said the last snowstorm wasn't a B-. So she's a little surprised that they she's taking advantage of the situation there. But I can't blame her. They did mishandle it. Let's just call it what it is. If there's still that much ice on Carl's street, 20 days later, that's a problem. Despite the cold temperatures we've had, some of that should have been up by now. Coming up, bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to our friend Ryan Wiggins, host of Wiggins America, find out what he's got going on here. He'll be in the studio at about 8:35 this morning. Looking forward to it. But, Carl, let's go ahead and get to our short list, please.
The Mark Cox Short List.
In addition, we will stop our service members from being indoctrinated with radical left ideologies such as critical race theory. We're going to stop it. It's already been stopped. It's already been halted.
Yeah, absolutely. He has done that for sure. And what about that? The rolling out new military executive orders, all of that stuff in one day. The winning is getting a little tiresome, isn't it? No, I'm just kidding.
Nothing but cheers walking through the airport, cheers walking, you know, through the streets. We stopped at a police station, and every uniform in that building walked up, shook our hands, and thanked us for being there and helping them make their communities more safe.
And that was in Chicago. Chicago. They're giving him high fives while the mayor and the governor are trying to block and make more difficult the efforts of ICE to remove illegal criminal aliens.
By the way, no amount of berating me about this is going to change the fact that the American people literally just voted for this.
You're right.
They want the criminals out. They want the violent people out.
Yeah, Scott Jennings schooling him on CNN again. They're like, you can make all the excuses you want and come up with all the, tugging at the heartstrings with stories of, a father that's been here 30 years being sent back to Mexico. But at the end of the day, this is what America voted for. It is. I'm sorry.
The crew of the Space Shuttle Challenger honored us for the manner in which they lived their lives. We will never forget them, nor the last time we saw them this morning as they prepared for their journey and waved goodbye and slipped the surly bonds of Earth to touch the face of God. Thank you.
Wow. 39 years later, that sends a chill down my spine. It not just hearing Ronald Reagan's voice, that always sends a chill down my spine, but the message that he crafted the same day the Challenger exploded. I know he borrowed that line about slip the surly bonds of earth and touch the face of God. A poet had written that about flying. But what fitting words that day. Do you remember that day, Scott?
I remember very vividly. I was in the classroom. I was, what year? It was 16? It was 86, right?
86.
Okay, so I would have been 15. And we were watching the event live, the liftoff.
Yes.
And then just sat in stunned silence when it exploded.
Yes.
I'll never forget that, of course. Awful.
I was in Spanish class in college when it happened, so we didn't have a TV on in there to watch it. But somebody ran into the classroom and told us what happened, and we were able to leave our building there at Miami University in a Spanish 3 and run downstairs to the lobby. They had a common area where students could take a break, and they had the TVs all on in there, and they were running it on a loop at that point, and everybody just speculating. I mean, you had a pretty good idea everybody was dead at that point, but obviously it took them a few hours to confirm that. And that same day, Rinaldus Magnus took to the airwaves and gave a speech that, again, sends emotional chills down my spine every time I listen to it. Here's just a little bit of it.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd planned to speak to you tonight to report on the State of the Union, but the events of earlier today have led me to change those plans. Today is a day for mourning and remembering. Nancy and I are pained to the core by the tragedy of the Shuttle Challenger. We know we share this pain with all of the people of our country. This is truly a national loss. 19 years ago, almost to the day, we lost three astronauts in a terrible accident on the ground. But we've never lost an astronaut in flight. We've never had a tragedy like this. And perhaps we've forgotten the courage it took for the crew of the shuttle. But they, the Challenger 7, were aware of the dangers, but overcame them and did their jobs brilliantly. We mourn 7 heroes: Michael Smith, Dick Scobee, Judith Resnick, Ronald McNair, Ellison Onizuka, Gregory Jarvis, and Krista Mikulov. We mourn their loss as a nation together. The families of the 7, we cannot bear, as you do, the full impact of this tragedy. But we feel the loss, and we're thinking about you so very much.
Wow. I'd forgotten that it was supposed to be his address to the nation that night. And obviously they canceled that, and he replaced it with that speech. Mm. Even to this day, sends chills right down the middle of your spine, doesn't it?
They also suspended the space shuttle program for almost 3 years.
3 years.
Yeah, and NASA got a lot of heat for what happened. It's still incredible what we've accomplished going into space. And for this to happen is obviously horrific. But, you know, you have to think about the odds of something like that occurring, given what all has to go into putting a space shuttle into the orbit.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And it's still kind of sad to think that we just kind of did away with the shuttle program altogether. I mean, it seemed very, other than those tragedies like that and the one that blew up with the tile that went missing and burned up on reentry, it's just sad to see that we don't have those around anymore, for sure. All right, we'll get to a quick break here again. Ryan Wiggins coming up with some interesting headlines for you if you haven't seen them at the bottom of the hour. We're going to get to that at about 8:35. Stay tuned.
Ships this week condemned some of the executive orders signed by President Trump, specifically those allowing immigration and customs enforcement to enter churches and to enter schools. Do you personally support the idea of conducting a raid or enforcement action in a church service, at a school.
Well, let me address this. Of course, if you have a person who is convicted of a violent crime, whether they're an illegal immigrant or a non-illegal immigrant, you have to go and get that person to protect the public safety. That's not unique to immigration. But let me just address this particular issue, Margaret, because as a practicing Catholic, I was actually heartbroken by that statement. And I think that the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops needs to actually look in the mirror a little bit and recognize that when they receive over $100 million to help resettle illegal immigrants, are they worried about humanitarian concerns or are they actually worried about their bottom line? We are going to enforce immigration law. We're going to protect the American people.
Yeah.
Donald Trump promised to do that. And I believe the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, if they're worried about the humanitarian costs of immigration enforcement, let them talk about the children who have been sex trafficked because of the wide open border of Joe Biden.
Wow. Donald, J.D. Vance absolutely eviscerated Margaret Brennan. I played a couple bites from this yesterday. But he just doesn't play with her. He just, it's like, I don't care, Margaret. Are you listening, Margaret? I don't care. Like the one I played for you earlier with her demanding to know when prices are going to drop. And he had to school her on why prices are so high. Donald Trump, I know it's a lot of winning. But you need to understand what's going on in America right now. Never before in my memory have we had a president that's been this effective in implementing the promises he made on the campaign trail. I mean, who thought when he was in Vegas during the election and he was campaigning there and he went out and he told a crowd of all of those people that worked in the restaurant industry, I'm going to eliminate taxes on tips. People all cheered. And then Kamala came out a week later and announced she was also going to eliminate. Hey, that's a good idea. I'll eliminate taxes on tips. I really thought they were both paying a little bit of lip service to that. Mm-hmm. That I want your vote. I would consider eliminating. Well, what did he do the first week of his presidency? He flew back to Vegas and said, I'm going to eliminate taxes on tips. And he talked to the Republicans about that at his golf club yesterday. So when is a president been this serious? What did Barack Obama do? He took off right after getting elected and did an apology tour in Europe for how aggressive the U.S. had been, and we're not going to do that anymore. And Donald Trump is making America great again. Listen to the executive orders he announced yesterday, Carl. Play cut three for us, please.
Immediately begin the construction of a state-of-the-art Iron Dome missile defense shield, which will be able to protect Americans. You know, we protect other countries, but we don't protect ourselves. And when Ronald Reagan wanted to do it many years ago, luckily we didn't. We didn't have the technology then. It was a concept, but we didn't. Now we have phenomenal technology. You see that with Israel, where out of 319 rockets, they knocked down just about every one of them. So I think the United States is entitled to that, and everything will be made right here in the USA, 100%. And next, to ensure that we have the most lethal fighting force in the world, we will get transgender ideology the hell out of our military. It's going to be gone. In addition, we will stop our service members from being indoctrinated with radical left ideologies such as critical race theory. We're going to stop it. It's already been stopped. It's already been halted, totally halted. And finally, we will offer full reinstatement to any service member who was expelled from the armed forces due to the COVID vaccine mandate. And we will restore them to their former rank with full pay.
Wow. That's a lot to announce it at one speech. And over 8,000 service members are going to get a return, if they choose, to their previous rank. And they're going to get back pay from the federal government from the time they were wrongly dismissed by the Biden administration. Wow. It's so much winning, I almost can't take it. I'm just kidding. Of course I can take it. I love it. What a great week it's been. We'll get Ryan Wiggins in here with a couple of headlines that have apparently perplexed him when we get back.
I've raised a lot of money for the next race that I assume I can't use for myself, but I'm not 100% sure because I don't know. I think I'm not allowed to run again. I'm not sure. Am I allowed to run again, Mike? I better not get you involved in that argument.
No, we raised a lot of money, a tremendous amount, and our teletext.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
Ryan Wiggins back in studio with us right now. Ryan, Donald Trump continues to occupy space in the brains of the left in this country by hinting at the fact that he's got a whole lot of money left, and he can't spend it on himself, but wait a minute, can I?
It's just so funny. It's so weird because he's so funny, but he never winks. He's like the opposite of Jimmy Fallon, where Jimmy Fallon, every time he tells a joke, you know he told a joke because he's laughing at it. He can't contain himself. Trump tells jokes, and you have no idea.
He just leaves it laying out there.
He told a joke.
Yeah.
Like
he joked about potentially dropping the income tax, and he hearkened back to before 1913, before there was an income tax, when we raised money for the government through tariffs, and we were richer than ever before. And he talked about the fact that all that richness is how Teddy Roosevelt built the national park system. He used some of that money to buy all this land and make it turn it into national parks. And you know, if we just got rid of the income tax, we could have that kind of money again, and we wouldn't be depending on the United States citizens to pay for everything. And I mean, of course, the headlines this morning reflect the media. They don't know what to do with them. It's too much information.
You're kind of making me sad right now because I didn't take that one as a joke. And again, since we don't know when he's joking,
I don't know that it's a joke.
I hope it's not.
I just don't know that the Congress has got the cojones to do something like that.
Yeah.
They're too addicted to spending.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I've talked to a couple of, you know, Washington random people and, you know, just asking big questions. You know, why is this this way? Why is this this way? And a couple of the people, and I think Will Scharf was one of them, he said, well, because Congress, once they passed income tax, it was like the federal government was never going to stop growing.
No, the spigot just came on.
Yeah. And so that is a huge problem. It's the reason the federal government is so big and so powerful when it was never really intended to be that way. So him, even if he's just floating it out there, having it a part of the conversation is good because we don't even think about that stuff. And he's talking total reform. Even if we don't get all the way there, if we get halfway there, it's a win.
It's a win. Yeah, I agree with you completely. What have you been looking at headline-wise?
So I brought a couple of headlines in for stories that I'm like, you know what, we share an office, so I could just ask you this. But I'm like, well, we also do radio, so I could ask you this on the radio.
As Carl says, save it for the air.
Yeah.
Save it for the air.
So I've been saving these couple headlines for you for the air because I genuinely want to know what you think Republicans should do about this. Here's the first one. Elizabeth Warren has a plan for Elon Musk to cut U.S. spending. So Elizabeth Warren is approaching Elon Musk with Doge with suggestions. So what do you think he should do about that? What do you think Republicans, how should we respond to that?
I'd be anxious to see what her suggestions are. I would imagine it would have something to do with gutting the military, right? Or raising taxes on billionaires and having them shoulder more of the burden instead of her lower income middle class American she talks about all the time.
So she doesn't address, at least in this article, it doesn't talk about her wanting to raise taxes on anybody. So if that's part of it, that's off the table. But she does say that she wants to preserve about $200 billion by renegotiating defense contracts.
See, cutting the military.
Cutting military.
Yes, yes.
Now, what she says, though, is I'm like, yeah, I'll listen. She points to Inspector General reports from the past that have found that contractors regularly hike prices when they do military contracts.
Sure they do.
And so if we're able to renegotiate those, would it save money? Maybe. I'm open to the idea.
This is an age-old problem. Wasn't it Ronald Reagan that unveiled the fact that toilet seats cost $600 and they were overcharging for everything? My mother recently spent a week and a half in the hospital for a bad fall, and she didn't break anything, fortunately. And then we got the bill for her hospital room, and I'm looking at the itemized charges that they're charging her every day. And that room was like $2,000 a day. And then if they brought her a Band-Aid, it was $75. I mean, everything is way overcharged. You know that happens in the military.
Mm-hmm.
And I would hope that they're planning to look at stuff like that. Maybe not some of the same stuff Elizabeth wants to look at. I mean, couldn't we all just move to a reservation and not pay taxes?
Well, that's something that she would probably know a little bit more about than I would. I do, because I don't know. But but that is another area that she looks like, and she's probably talking more about Medicare and things. What the article does not say, or does say that she will not address, is big entitlement reform, which is ultimately what they really have to do to cut the size of government.
Thank you.
And she won't address that, but she is talking about wasteful spending in healthcare, which I just. You know, I just went in the hospital earlier this month. I had a lung infection. I had to get some IV stuff. It was it's all a process. And, yeah, it's the same thing. You know, they bring you a little cap for your IV. Well, that's probably $100
or yeah.
something, you know.
Everything's marked
up. But they do it because they're going to mark it up, and then they're going to negotiate with the insurance, and the insurance is going to say, well, we'll give you $5 for it. And they'll go, well, how about we settle on $10?
Not to share too many details here, but my mom's got good. She was a retired teacher. She got good health care in addition to Medicare, right? So her health care company through her union in addition to Medicare. This bill was $45,000. Do you know how much they billed her for from BJC over here?
How much?
$450.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, on a $45,000 bill.
That's still 1%.
Somebody's paying a lot, right?
Or they're just marking it off.
Or they're just,
it's such a mess. But they fight back and forth, and then you're in the middle going, well, what's going to happen? You know, I don't know how much it's going to end up being.
Now there may be more bills coming, but the initial one was $450, and the bill was $45,000.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, then the government props something up like an industry like that. They just charge
more.
So real quick, here's the other headline. Mike Johnson critic Thomas Massie taken off of powerful rules committee. So they've removed, after Massie wasn't a part of the speaker vote, he was the only one that ended up dissenting from Republicans. They removed him from his committees.
I respect Tom Massie in a lot of ways. He is a libertarian, so we're going to differ on some of these issues. But we have a unique opportunity here to get something done with control of both houses. And if he's going to sit on the Rules Committee and just try to do things to get Mike Johnson fired, that's not productive. I'm sorry. You, at this point, that ship has sailed. He's the speaker. You have a brief 2-year period to get things accomplished before the midterms. Johnson thinks they're going to maintain power during the midterms and gain power. Historically, that hasn't happened. So, as much as I hate to see Massey's voice silenced on some of these issues, They've got a brief window of opportunity here.
And they have such a narrow majority, especially pulling a couple of these people. They haven't filled Gates' seat yet, so there's a lot of back and forth going to be happening within this next couple of months doing the budget. But I really like Thomas Massie.
I do like a lot of his ideas.
And I like Chip Roy, and I like that these guys are going to stand up and say, we have to do something major for budget reform right now. I don't know how much they can get done. Narrow majorities. They can't change everything. They can't do full entitlement reform like we really need.
Yeah.
But I want to see as much done as possible
and
right now.
He'll push for that. But, you know, when he said that time, no, I am a solid no on Mike Johnson. You can pull out my fingernails with a pair of pliers and I won't vote for him. I'm thinking, Tom, I think you're missing the point here.
Well, he definitely took a stand.
Yeah, he did. You got to give him credit for sticking to his guns. But at some point, he's shooting us in the foot if he does that when we need his vote. And that vote is the difference, right?
Well, I just hope he and a couple others are able to get some meaningful spending cuts, because this is an opportunity for that, too. So, and we've got to have it. Like, we need generational change on spending right now.
Amen. What we need are term limits. Maybe we get term limits put in while we're in control.
Sure.
No, probably not.
I don't think we'll ever see that.
Too many swamp creatures up there. That's never going to happen. Wiggins, can you hang around for a minute?
Sure.
All right. Now that we got him here through the traffic where he was stuck downtown, we'll just keep him. We'll be back in a minute.
I'm so sorry. Only people are getting attacked. The children. They don't understand. I'm so sorry. I wish I could do something, but I can't. I don't know what to do. I'll try everything I promise.
Yeah, I think the tears are real for Selena Gomez there. Although I think her concern is misplaced. But here's where I lose my ability to have much empathy for her. Do you know Ryan Wiggins still in the studio with us here? Do you know how much Selena Gomez is worth? Carl and I were looking at this 9 years ago. We took our daughters to see her over here at Enterprise Center, and the kids were able to get backstage and get pictures with her. We were looking at those earlier, and in the meantime, she's done very well for herself. Needless to say, she's done some Hollywood movies. She's obviously got a music career.
Yeah,
she's made $85 million on the music tours, $26 million acting. Has $8 million in real estate with four different houses she owns around the country.
Oh, nice.
At least $8
million. Okay.
But it's her beauty line that is now worth $1.1 billion with a B. Selena Gomez, who's crying in the social media post that she's now taken down, is worth over $1 billion.
Wow.
So why not open up all of her houses to these poor people that she's feeling so bad for? Do you think she's done that? There's pools, well, there's spas.
Well, here's
let them on in.
Here's an argument for it. You're only one person. You can only live in one house at a time.
Thank you.
So your other three are empty. So that is a solution. Now, here's the argument against it, though. Illegal immigration is so big that I don't think it would make that much of a dent. Even though her houses are probably massive.
Yeah, well.
I don't think you can put 8 million people in them.
Yeah, maybe not. But, you know, if she's got specific relatives she's worried about, she needs to hide them. The children. She should save the children, since that's what she's so worried about.
Did you hear what the Border Czar said about this?
I saw that he reacted to her.
Yeah, he said, "Where are the tears for all the people dying from fentanyl coming into the country? Or being sex trafficked?"
Yes.
Where are the tears for those people?
Well, she took her post down right after.
Yeah, I think
said that.
it's just amazing because there was a time when I would look at a bleeding heart liberal and say, you know, you may have something that I don't. I hope that I have compassion. I hope that actually drives a lot of my beliefs. But you may have something in your heart or soul that I don't have in that, like that liberal thing, that bleeding heart thing. But it was after AOC, and I'm not saying every liberal is AOC, but when she was crying for kids in cages during Trump's first term, and then immediately switched and did not say a thing during the 4 years of Biden's term, when all of the things she was concerned about during Trump's term got worse.
Yes.
That's when I was like, okay. If I heard other liberals speak up and say, "Oh, I disagree with AOC on this," I didn't hear a peep from anybody about it because it had become just a political thing.
It's mental illness in some cases. I'm afraid. Hey, by the way, do you know who Matt Taibbi is? The podcaster and a journalist. He was on with Tucker Carlson yesterday, and they were talking about the blanket pardons that Joe Biden handed out as he left office for people like, including Anthony Fauci. And he seems to think, and I've heard that Andrew Bailey and others have suggested this, that it doesn't stop state charges, and maybe some of the states will start looking into this. This is what he said on Tucker's podcast yesterday. Listen.
What's happening? They just made it a lot easier for us to find out.
How?
Because now, once the pardon's delivered, the person can't plead the fifth. If they're brought before a grand jury, they can't take the fifth anymore. If they're brought before a congressional committee, they can't invoke their right against self-incrimination. So they have to say something. And this is what's so interesting, because I've been talking to criminal defense attorneys, people who are former Senate investigators, some current Senate investigators, and they all kind of said the same thing. It's so illogical to give somebody a pardon if you're trying to cover up things, that the only reason you would really do it is if there's very serious crimes involved, right?
Like, I don't know, crimes against humanity for gain of function research. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to think out loud what you might be in trouble for.
Yeah, like helping to fund a virus that ended up changing humanity.
Yeah,
like for years. I don't know. I Rand Paul is still going hard on this and saying we're not going to stop. We're still going after Fauci. Now, I don't know what the federal government can do, but yeah, states can still do stuff.
Yeah, you have to wonder. Scott was talking earlier about the bird flu that's sweeping through, and they're using a term when they get rid of a bunch of chickens. It's called depopulation. That's sort of what we're doing with immigrants, isn't it? Different connotation, obviously.
Yeah, not killing
them. We're not depopulating. We're not killing them. The chickens, they're deep when they depopulate them.
Yeah,
they're chopping their heads off. All we're doing is putting them on C-17s and dropping a mic off in Guatemala or Colombia.
Our population is going down by about 1,000 a day right now.
No, it is. It is. We'll see how long that lasts. Wiggins, great to have you back.
Yeah, thanks.
Absolutely. Scott J. Gow, we'll see you again tomorrow.
Yep.
We appreciate that. Kill Meat is up next, and then Annie and Mark after that. We'll be back in the morning. See you then.
Get more at 971talk.com.